Would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua? We're going to be in Joshua tonight. Next Sunday night is communion, so we'll have a communion message. And then the next Sunday night, we will finish Joshua because there is much to see, and I don't want to rush through it. As you're turning to the little book of Joshua, I want to remind us of some things as we talk about these profiles of God's people, which we are looking at, Old and New Testament. Sometimes we may think that God's people in the Old or New Testament were superhuman believers. They were not. They were men and women like us. They had great strengths, but they also had some profound weaknesses. They failed. And yet, in spite of their weaknesses, God in His mercy used them to bring glory to His name and to spread the testimony of His love and His mercy to others. And so the reason I'm bringing these profiles to us is I want us to understand we can identify with all of these people. The problems they went through, we go through. Yes, there are differences, but life in many ways hasn't changed. And the same God that ministered to them is the same God that ministers to us today. Now, last week we began to look at Joshua. Joshua was a wonderful man of God. He was Moses' aide for 40 years as the children of Israel were wandering in the desert. They were wandering not because God didn't know how to tell them which way to go. They were wandering because of the sin of unbelief. And God said that that generation needed to die away so that those who came forward would be people who would be people of faith. Sadly, as they got into the promised land, that next generation, sadly, followed in the footsteps of their parents and their grandparents. But within that group of people was a young man by the name of Joshua. He, along with Caleb, spied out the land that God had said that He was going to send them to, a land filled with giants, a land that had cities that were impregnable. And the other 10 said, "We cannot do this. It's beyond us. They will squash us." But Joshua and Caleb, in essence, said, "If we follow God's commands, we will be victorious." Now, what do we know about the man Joshua? What did we learn last week? Well, quickly, we learned that he was a man of worship. Yes, he was with Moses when Moses received the Ten Commandments on the Mount from God. He was not as high as Moses, but he was there. He was under the cloud. He also was in the tent of meeting when the Lord came down and met with Moses. We call it the Shekinah glory of God. So this dear man Joshua saw and heard things that nobody else had heard or seen. But he was a man of obedience. He learned submission to God early in his life, and that stood him in good stead as God was looking for someone who would replace Moses when Moses would pass away. His walk with God was personal. Though he had all of this time with Moses, it wasn't Moses' walk that he embraced in. It was his own personal walk with God, his time alone with God. You've heard it said that God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Just because you and I are born into a Christian family doesn't mean that the faith of our parents or grandparents passes down to us. It's an individual faith in God that brings us into a right relationship with Him. And this dear man, Joshua, had a right relationship with God, and he nurtured that with prayer. Lastly, he was a man of patience. Can you imagine being under the tutelage of a man like Moses? A man among men, a powerful man, a man who dared to walk with God, a man who had audience with God. For 40 years, Moses was his leader. And yet we never see anything in God's word where Joshua tries to push, where he takes over or does anything. He is content to let God use him as he sees fit. Now, as I thought about Joshua, I thought of another man many, many, many years later who reminds me of Joshua. And that man's name is Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was that man from England whom God sent to China in 1865 to bring the gospel to all of those inland villages within China. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of people without any knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. And God used him, and hundreds of thousands of dear Chinese people received Christ as Savior. Well, how could God take a little man like Hudson Taylor and use him in such an enormous way? In 1894, dear Hudson says this about his own walk with Christ. God chose me because I was weak enough. God does not do his great works by large committees. He trains somebody to be quiet enough and little enough, and then he uses them. And as I thought of Hudson and how God worked with him, I thought of Joshua. He too was quiet enough and little enough. And when it was time for him to come out of the shadows, and God needed that man to lead his people into the promised land, this man, Joshua, was made usable by God. Of course, you know that when I preach God's word, when I teach it, I have questions for us. And I ask myself these questions first before I ask any of you. Tonight, I ask us two questions at this point. Are you and I little enough for God to use? You know, some Christians are too big for God to use. They want to have the glory. They want to be in charge. They want to lead. No, God's not looking for people like that. He's looking for men and women who are little enough in their own eyes and humble enough before God to say, Lord, you use me as you see fit. Are we little enough for God to use? If we're little enough for God to use, then secondly, we will be molded by God. And may I share with you that God makes no mistakes when he is the one doing the molding of his children. Well, now look with me to Joshua chapter 5. We want to see something very, very important as Joshua and the people of Israel get ready to go into Canaan land or the promised land. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Notice what he does. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in what? In reverence, and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is what? Holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua and the nation of Israel has now crossed the Jordan River. Moses led the nation of Israel through the Red Sea. God parted the waters. People said, "Well, that's silly. There was only 6 inches of water in the Red Sea when they crossed it." One little boy, as the story goes, says, "Well, teacher, if that's true, that's even more of a miracle than what I heard, because all those horses and all those soldiers drowned in 6 inches of water." So, I don't know. Our God is greater than that. He caused the waters to part. He worked miracles through Moses. And now as the children of Israel prepare to go into the promised land, he once again works miracles through Joshua. The Jordan River is at flood stage. And now they go through on dry ground into the land of Canaan. God said that the land of Canaan, or the promised land, was a land of milk and honey. In other words, an overabundance of food and provision. Food that they had not planted or harvested was theirs. Cities that they had not built, they would live in. This was a glorious place, and God was bringing it to them by His mercy and His grace. But into this land were nations, nations that were totally against God. Nations that had religions that were steeped in Satanism, where children were offered to dead gods and horrible things were done amongst the people. The cities were impregnable. How could you ever go up against them? There were giants in the land. How on earth could this nation of people, led by Joshua, dare to go in and say, "We take this land in God's name, for His glory"? How could they? Well, Joshua 5, 13 through 15 tells us they could do all of this by trusting the commander of the Lord's army. Now, who is this commander of the Lord's army? People have asked, is it a man? Is it an angel? No, it is God. And we know it is God. He is God because we call it a Christophany. There are many times within the Old Testament that Christ shows Himself to His people in such a way that we can't understand it, but it's true. Remember to Moses at the burning bush when God's calling him to go back to Egypt and deliver Israel from Egypt? It was the Lord who met Moses in the burning bush. Remember when God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, "You are going to have a son of promise, that son Isaac. You're going to be 100, your wife is going to be 90, but I'm giving you a son of promise." It was the Lord Jesus in a Christophany appearing to Abraham and Sarah. And now, these many years later, the commander of the Lord's army, the Lord Jesus Christ, appears to Joshua. How He shows Himself, it doesn't say. It just says that He shows Himself to Joshua, and Joshua knows it's not just a man. It's not an angel. In the book of the Revelation, when an angel came to John and gave him a message from the Lord, you recall, as we went through Revelation, John started to bow before the angel, and the angel said, "No, don't do that. I am one as you. Worship God." It's interesting, when you look at Moses, he took off his sandals. He was before God. Joshua took off his sandals. He was before God. They bowed down to the ground. They were before God. Now, as the commander of the Lord's army, the Lord Jesus, in His pre-incarnate glory, makes Himself known to Joshua, why would He need to do that? Well, again, these cities are impregnable. There's no way that mere men can go against them. Think with me. Israel was 2 million strong. They didn't have any great articles or weapons of war. They didn't have any catapults whereby you could put these big boulders or these balls of fire and fling them up over the walls of a fortified city. They didn't have any armaments of war. They had spears and they had bows. They had arrows. They had some swords. You throw that against the walls of Jericho, it's like straw. Besides, the walls of Jericho were supposedly, and excavation has shown us, 25 feet tall. They were almost 20 feet thick. There was an inner wall, a space, and then an outer wall. And so it was an impregnable city. It was high on a hill, and the people could look out and see who was coming up against them. How could they defeat this city? Only by the commander of the Lord's army could they go forth. And it is the commander of the Lord's army that lets Joshua know that he is going to be able to defeat the enemy. Well, how do we know that? If you look in verse 2 of chapter 6, it says this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have what? Delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." As I thought of that, I wondered what went on in Joshua's mind. Here this commander of heaven's army is standing in front of him. He's standing, not sitting. His sword is out. He's ready to fight. He's ready to do the battle. All through, as God's people go into an area where they are outnumbered, God wanted them to realize the battle is his, not theirs. He would lead, and they should follow. And when they followed his leadership, they were victorious. What a wonderful Lord. What a powerful God. He never, never, never makes half promises. What he promises, he will do. Well, now tonight, I just want to breed. I cannot get into this passage until 2 weeks from tonight. And the reason I can't get into it in detail is because there's way too much here. But I want to read what happens when Joshua and the nation of Israel comes up against this impregnable city, the city of Jericho, that was well known for its a fortress, well known for its power, well known for its army, well known for defeating anybody who came against it. How would they beat them? You know the story, but let's read it again. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered..." There's another reason why we know it was the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for how long? 6 days. Then, on the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Except that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because She hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall what? Collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. As I said, there's so much here, there's no way I can do it, so we will devote one message 2 weeks from tonight to what is said here, because it is absolutely essential to understanding who our God is, the power that belongs to him, and how God's people need to follow what he says. Now, though God's ways may seem mysterious, they are always best. May I say that again? Though God's ways may seem mysterious to us, they are always best. We're going to look at what some men have said about the collapse of these walls. I want you to think again. These walls are approximately 20 feet thick, 25 feet high. It is a huge city. How could shouting and trumpets blasting bring the walls down? Well, many people have said all kinds of things, but we're going to find out that God is in charge of his own universe. And when God makes a decision to win a victory for his people, he doesn't need the help of man. He can do it his way. And I'm so thankful to understand that he does it his way. To those who do not know God, what we just read seems absolutely incredulous to them. They laugh. Never laugh at God. Never laugh at who he is. Never laugh at what he has done. You know the powerful verse, Isaiah 55:8, where the Lord told Isaiah to tell the people, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." Our God is an awesome God, as the song says. He is omnipotent. What does the word omnipotent mean? All powerful. All powerful. This glorious God of ours who created the heavens and the earth, can you imagine a God that powerful to create all that is out there? We haven't even begun to ascertain what is there. A planet they say that is perhaps the furthest away from us is 10 million light years away. That's 10 million light years, 186,000 miles per second times 10 million years. How big is that? My word! You can't get around it. So if our God's that great, which he is, then he can bring down the walls of Jericho any way he pleases. And we'll see why he did it the way that he did. He's a glorious God. Well, as I think of Joshua and the people of Israel, I think people say, you know, things are different today. God could work through his people back then in ways that he can't work today, or he won't work today. They're different from us. If God would work in our lives today, as he worked in Joshua's today, I too would follow him. If I had the same blessings and the same care of God as Joshua did, I would follow him. Let me share a little truth with you. Our God does share the same blessings and the same care with us today. How do I know that? I know that because of the truths of God's word. I'm going to read two scriptures to you, and I'm going to have you look into two scriptures with me. How do I know that our God does the same for us today as he did for Joshua and his people? Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." What does the word never mean? It can't change. Never will I leave you. God has made a promise to his people. Just in the Old Testament? No. In the New Testament? No. All generations? Yes. Then in Hebrews 13:8, God's word tells us this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God has not changed. Now, would you please look with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And I want to point out two things from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. To let us know that the God of Joshua is the God of today. And as Joshua could depend upon God to meet him in his need, in his Jericho, so God can meet us today when we meet up against our Jerichos. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said this, "Then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been what? Given to me, given to him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you," what? "Always, to the very end of the age." The first thing about Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All authority rested with God as he created the heavens and the earth. All authority rested with God when he told Joshua and the nation of Israel that day, "Do not be afraid of Jericho and its citizens and its army. I am the commander of your army. I will lead you. I have all authority." The walls came down. When Jesus was getting ready to leave earth and go to heaven, his disciples, in a sense, were facing their own Jericho. They were being sent to all of the corners of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and women did not want to hear about Jesus. They too were facing an army coming against them. And Jesus says, "You do not need to be afraid. See, I've got all authority." May I share with you that this same Jesus, this same commander of heaven's army that assisted Joshua, is the same Lord Jesus who has all authority today to be with you and me as we come up against our Jerichos. We live in a dark, dark world. Satan is roaring. He has his ugly head going, and there are people that are literally worshiping him around the world, singing praises to him, and they're laughing. They're making fun of God's church. Christians are being beheaded and raped. Our God says, "Church, I have all authority. You do not need to fear. I don't care what Jericho comes your way. Just as Joshua and the people needed to keep their eyes on me and follow me, so do you. Keep your eyes on me. Follow me." The second thing in this passage of Scripture is, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." In other words, I'm never going to leave you. You ever been lost? I remember years ago as a little boy, I was up in Uptown Whittier, and my brother went to Whittier Christian School where my dad was the principal, and we were quite a ways away from the school. She says, "You know how to get back to school. I want you to walk back. I'll be back there later." I got lost. That's a horrible thing, being lost. You feel all alone. The Lord Jesus wants us to realize that we are not alone. Last, would you turn to John 14? John 14. Another evidence that the commander of heaven's army that was with Joshua is the same Lord that we worship today, as he was with them, as he was with Joshua, so he is with us, and so he is with you. In John 14, at verse 15, the Lord Jesus says this: "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Read this with me: "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Another counselor. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. The word "another" means of the same kind, of the same quality. Just as I am with you now, men, I'm going to leave someone who will be in you, who will remind you of me. The Holy Spirit is called the Counselor. He also can be called the Comforter or the Advocate. It's taken from the Greek word paraclete, which means one called alongside to help. As I thought of that, I couldn't help but think of Joshua. Here he is in need of guidance, in need of power, in need of encouragement. And who comes alongside to help but the commander of the heaven's army? Wow! God himself comes to minister to Joshua. It's no different for you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has all authority, God the Son, comes to our side, to our aid. He wants us to realize we are not alone. We are not orphans. Aren't you glad? I sure am. You know, I mentioned that the world is dark, spiritually dark, and yet those Jerichos that face us, the testings, the temptations from Satan, the difficulty that would come our way, they would come, if we're not careful, to rob us of our peace with God, rob us of the joy that we have in serving him, and fill us with fear if we let them. But Jesus says, you don't want to do that. You don't need to do that. I'm with you. I have all that you need. What you need to do is to give your life to me and allow me to lead you and mold you. I'm going to take you through the battle, just as I did with Joshua. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful God. Now, as I think of Joshua, as I close tonight, God could work through Joshua at a difficult time such as this because he was small enough for God to use. Again, are you and I small enough for God to use? Secondly, Joshua had a habit of looking to the Lord for guidance. He was humble. He sought the Lord's will for his life. And you and I both know that when we seek God's will for his life and we obey him, he does give what is best. Thirdly, and this is often overlooked today, he was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer, and the Lord honored him. Joshua wasn't perfect, but he did follow hard after God. And I believe that's what God is looking for today. Men and women who will follow hard after him, taking him at his word and letting him lead them. You see, he is the commander of heaven's army. He is the savior of our soul. He is that ever-present comforter, whatever our need. I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise tonight for your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your word says in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So the Lord Jesus has always been. He can show himself any way he so chooses to his people in all of the ages of history. And we're so thankful that he came to earth and died for us, rose again so that we might have life through his name. Heavenly Father, I don't know what Jerichos we may be facing today. Undoubtedly, there are some difficulties that we might call impregnable. We have no idea how to get around them or over them. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would allow you to show us. As we humble ourselves before you, please guide us. And we're going to give you the praise, for we thank you for your great love and care for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.